It's always nice to get away from things for a little while. And I remember just giving like a half day retreat and just sort of describing life in a way where so it's like you're being on a treadmill and sometimes we're running and sometimes we're jogging on this treadmill mill and we're thinking we're getting somewhere. But then when we step back and look at what is actually happening, we're not getting anywhere. So sometimes life is like that. But then after the retreat, somebody came up to me and said, one of the reasons why they meditate is to actually get off the treadmill. So just think about that. That's what we're doing here. We're getting off the treadmill that we call life. And I think that's just giving that ourselves that opportunity to be able to sit down and just let go. Basically, let go of the world around us. And that's what I've noticed over the years as a monk. When somebody who comes across his practice, when they start practicing, their letting go skills aren't that good. But after a while, you know, a few years of living in a monastery, practicing meditation, living a virtuous lifestyle, you can start to see that the ability to let go becomes better. And in a sense, if you're going to judge anybody on how well they're doing, I think spiritually, you see how well they let go. Yeah, it's like, it's okay. Sometimes when we're like become a Buddhist or trying to be like holy people, we think we can't get angry, or we think we can't get sad. We think we can't get happy. We sort of think that we're supposed to be like in this neutral mode, like, you know, like a rock, just sitting there with no emotion. But no, that's not the case. I mean, you do get to those states in the deeper meditations, when you're sitting down and absolutely nothing is happening. There's no sadness, there's no happiness, there's no anger, just complete nothingness and stillness and peace. But as I was saying a little bit earlier, you know, in life we do get a little bit angry, we do get a little bit anxious, we do get a little bit sad. But if we are holding on to it for too long, then we can start to see there's a little bit of a problem there. Yeah? But just having a little bit of like instability in the mind, that's just normal. Yeah, we might get a little bit frustrated, we might get a little bit sad, but it doesn't last for a long time. So that's the aim of the practice. It's not to dwell too long on these negative states of mind. But instead, the Buddha said, you know, start to dwell on the, you know, the more positive states of mind, like the happiness and the kindness and the joy and the stillness, and that just the ability to let go and be free for just a certain amount of time in your day. And that's the opportunity meditation gives us, because we don't have any distractions when we meditate. We don't have anybody pushing our buttons. You know, sometimes in life when we see somebody, our buttons get pushed. But when we meditate, we're away from all the button pushers. We're in our own comfort zone. But you know, how do we use our time? So that's a good time for us to just sit down and just be with ourselves, and to be able to forget about the world for, you know, half an hour, a couple of hours, and you can start to see the you know, the benefits of doing something like that. Just being able, I think, to give yourself that time away from everything is an awesome gift that you can give yourself. If you can ask for any gift for Christmas, maybe more time on the meditation cushion. Yeah, you don't have to be like a super meditator to appreciate the moments of like quietness by yourself. It's actually a little bit of a relief. You don't have to deal with anybody. Just think about it. You don't have to deal with anybody or anything. Yeah? There's no work. There's no people in your life. It's just you and yourself and the freedom that you can create in that moment. And it's all, like I said at the beginning, it's a path of letting go. I'm not holding on to anything. And when you meditate, just try to direct your mind in that direction of just throwing things away. Like a thought might arise in your mind, and just have the intention of not holding on to it. And some of us, if we haven't meditated before, we might come across a situation where we think our minds is sort of like out of control and we can't let go. We might be thinking about something at work or some sort of problem that we've had during our day, And we think, oh, we've been listening to the monk, and he tells us to let go, but we can't let go. So what do you do then? You know, these Buddhists, they talk about letting go all the time. That's all they say, but I can't do it. So what do you do in situations like that? I think each and every one of us will come across times where we can't let go. So I think in those moments, we don't turn a bad situation into a worse situation. It's sort of like you know, when you have like the other day we had just had a bushfire across the road, and I think the high school there got evacuated, and it was a really hot day. I think it was like 40 degrees, and some of the people in the community are like freaking out. What do we do? Should we evacuate, get all our things, and get ready in case we might have to leave? But in a situation like that, because there wasn't really much feeding the fire during that day. It was a hot day, yes, but it wasn't that windy. So the conditions were like the fires is not going to develop and cause too much destruction, and you had the fireys there to deal with the fires and put it out. So sometimes, like with our own minds, when we have like too much turmoil or too much going on, one of the best things to do is to just leave it alone. And then eventually, the fire of whatever's happening in our own minds, that will start to just, fade away by itself. But sometimes you get into situations where you have a bushfire, and then the winds pick up, and then the weather's really hot, and the bush is really dry, and those those conditions are adding on, so the fire can grow hotter and more dangerous. And in the same way, when our minds are going a little bit crazy, because it does, come on, let's admit it, it goes a little bit crazy, and we try to add on to that craziness by trying to force our minds to be still, or trying to parent our own minds. Oh, you shouldn't be like this, or you shouldn't be like that. Giving yourself a hard time. What you're actually doing is you're making a bad situation worse. So one of the most skillful ways of dealing with like a bad situation in the mind is to be able to just step back and sort of like watch, you know, from a distance. Be an observer, and do it with a bit of wisdom and understanding that these these mental states, they don't last forever. They come and they go. And that's as a meditator, you're not always going to get good meditation, but I think as a meditator, through your own practice, you can start seeing the benefits from just sitting down quietly for, you know, during the week or the months and years that you've been practicing the meditation. And I think because you've seen some sort of benefit from it, you can sort of draw a bit of joy and happiness from what you're doing. And I think that's very important, to be able to get a little bit of a happiness or a little bit of joy in the meditation practice. Otherwise, we won't come back and do it ever again. It's just like with anything in life, whatever brings you happiness, you go back to it. So in a sense, when we're practicing, we're trying to just find those moments of joy and peace. That way we have a reason to meditate. And then I think if you can just use that, quite a powerful reflection is this practice of meditation just allows us to have like a break from our world, pretty much, to find that escape, to find that escape that we're all looking for. I think we're all looking for some sort of escape, and that's how we've been taught from a youngster, there's different ways to find escapes, and find escapes through, you know, drinking alcohol or taking drugs or watching the television. And we've been taught that this is how we escape from our problems. But if you can start to see that meditation provides like a different type of escape, one can always go back to it and use it as a tool, you know, as a tool to support your life. Yeah. You know, I think if everybody can add a little bit of meditation in their lives, you know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to like meditate like a monk, but just meditate like on a consistent basis, you can start to like experience the benefits of such a practice. Yeah. Like I said, you know, it's like just getting away from everything. Yeah, giving your mind a holiday. You know, sometimes you think, oh yeah, it's easy for a monk to say that, but you know, I'm in a position where I have to deal with a lot of people and working on projects and things like that, you know. And you know, stuff happens. You know, it's not, living in a monastery is not living in a perfect world. Yeah, we still, you know, we still have our problems and our own difficulties. And I always find, you know, if you can find that time of the day where you can just give it to just the practice of letting go in the meditation, it just I don't know, it just recharges your mind. And it gives you that, you know, that safe place to go to where nobody can touch you. Yeah? My mom can't yap in my ear and tell me what to do. You hear this complaint about this and oh my gosh, I'm like, oh crikey. So you get away from all that. That's an amazing thing. You know, people always look for these escapes, and the greatest escape you can give yourself is to just, I think, meditate. Just a few moments a day, yeah? You don't need to half an hour, just 5-10 minutes. Like, if you catch yourself in a situation where you're busy, and you can just take 5 minutes off, instead of going onto your phone, just sit down and close your eyes, and just, like, center yourself, forget about everything. See how that feels. And then in a sense you find a refuge, like a safe place within your own mind. Yeah. Who needs to go to Japan? Who needs to go to Croatia? For that kind of stuff, you know? You can find it like from within. Yeah. That's why, you know, sometimes you see monks, they can just live in a monastery in one place for a long, long time. They don't really need to go searching for elsewhere because they know where to find that, you know, that peace and stability. And it's all, it all comes from just finding it like from within. Yeah. Okay. It's a bit cold, isn't it? You know, it's still on, I had to turn it off. Was it hot last week?
It was hot.
Yeah. So we meditate to just be able to just, I think as human beings we all live in the moment, but meditation is a different type of moment, and giving ourselves you know, this experience and just see what kind of effect it has on your mind. Just being able to close your eyes. You know, what does that feel like? Is it relaxing? So just think, if you can keep your eyes closed for the next 17 years, without opening them, would you become peaceful? Probably. Because human beings, we're such we're visual people. We need to see things, we need to look at things, you know? So just shutting off that sense. You know? How does it feel? we just being in the moment, letting go of the world around us, letting go of our responsibilities, and just try to center our minds in within this meditation. The more we can let go, the more centered our minds will become. The more we hold on to things, the more distracted our minds become. So when we're meditating, we're not doing anything. We're not using our minds to figure out a problem, or using our minds to dream about the future. And meditation is a time where we can just let go of all that thinking, and instead just allow our minds to be. So when we're meditating, we're just sitting down, not really doing much. And if you like, if you have thoughts of, oh, I don't really like this meditation, then that's actually a reflection of your own mind. There's some sort of negativity there, or ill will, or whatever. It's not the meditation's fault that you dislike it, but it's your own way of thinking, your unskillful way of thinking. That is a problem. But when you meditate and you can be at peace, and you know your mind is not giving you too much trouble, you're actually enjoying or find a pleasant process, then that's a reflection of your mind. So you could sort of say it's never the meditation's fault, but it's the meditator's fault that the meditation doesn't work. Yeah, think about that. So as you're meditating, you can sort of feel that you're de-stressing from life. And the meaning of de-stressing is no responsibilities, no cares or worries can arise within your mind while you're meditating. You could deal with those problems later on. Any comments, questions, complaints? Anyone want to leave early, go home? Anyone want to sit an extra half an hour?
Yes, please.
No. So, what do you want me to talk about?
Are we meeting next week?
I think so. 23rd? I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. JR yeah, will be here.
Well, yeah, he said we would discuss it this week.
Mm. I think if somebody rocks up, then the monks will teach. Yeah. Yeah, we're not going anywhere. Yes. So. So nothing lasts forever, right? Like, did you hear the news about the monastery in Sydney? Yeah, I stayed in this monastery in Sydney on Wat Buddha Dhamma, Wiseman's Ferry. And I think last year one of the abbot came here and gave a talk. And also afternoon meditation retreat. His name is Ajahn Kama. So he's the fires in New South Wales affected his monastery. Yeah. So he lost a few kutis and...
14
walkways. 14, yeah, he didn't have... Yeah, the walkways, and they're all right. They're like 30 bucks each or something like that.
And a wood pile or something.
Yeah,
a lot of wood. Plastic piping.
Yeah, so a lot of the... yeah, so, you know, nothing lasts forever. And... And also, like, being a Buddhist monastery doesn't mean that you're protected from the elements and dangers of the world. Yeah. And that's always a nice thing to keep in mind, that you know, things don't last forever. They will disappear one day. And I was actually listening to a talk by Ajahn Yanadamo, and he was talking about Ajahn Chah. And so Ajahn Chah, he taught in a very simple way, and one of his main teachings is that things don't last forever. And for a big chunk of his teaching career, that's what he was trying to teach people, because he saw that, you know, when, you know, people, they just get stuck in their own heads and they don't seem to be getting anywhere. So when they're unhappy for a long time, or when they're angry for a long time. So he would go around and just tell people that things don't last forever. I remember Ajahn was saying that he would go up to every monk in the monastery and ask them, "How are you today?" And the monk would say, "It's a bit hot." And Ajahn Chah would say, "Oh, things don't last forever." And then he went to another monk and said, "How are you today?" And the monk said, "Oh, I'm suffering. This is such a terrible, terrible mistake. I didn't know why I became a monk." And he didn't say that. But Ajahn Chah said to him, "Things don't last forever." And then he'll go and see another monk. And then he asked the monk, "So how are you today?" And the monk said, "Oh, I'm happy." And to ruin his day, Ajahn Chah said, "Things don't last forever."
That's a bit cruel.
I think there's like a little nice idea that we can sort of carry with us and use it in our daily lives. And that's what Ajahn Chah was teaching them. You know, when you find yourself like in a difficult position where you're, you know, suffering too much, or you're holding on to something, just tell yourself, "Things don't last forever." And then eventually you'll see that truth, that things don't last forever. And that gives us like a sense of like, you know, inner strength and resilience to be able to deal with these things. And that's also another beautiful thing about how when we're meditating, we're applying that to our meditation practice, because the practice is all about like letting go of like a lot of like the control. Sometimes we want to stick our hands in and just steer it this way or steer it that way. Yeah, we're trying to control it because we don't have the patience to just leave things to allow them to disappear. So we just have to understand that things don't last forever in our own minds. So whatever's happening, we can take our hands away from it and just allow it to just, in a sense, like digest and do what it has to do in your own mind. Yeah. And once that, you know, that sort of like disappears, there's more clarity in the mind. Like there's more peace. And then when you see that peace and clarity, that's when you give yourself a good reason to practice meditation. That's enough reason for you to practice meditation. Just having a little bit more clarity and a little bit more peace. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I was just thinking earlier on, like Ajahn Brahm would say, like, like you get happiness within your meditation practice. But just thinking about it, it's not really happiness. What is actually happening is, I think your mind is just gaining more energy, you know, more mental clarity. So whatever you do becomes a more like enjoyable thing that you're doing. You can take for the example, you know, when you wake up in the morning, right, and you're tired. Yeah, it's like you're tired. Oh, I can't be stuck doing anything. Right? I'm tired. I feel lazy today. And the reason why is because the mind's a little bit dull. Yeah? But after, you know, you have eat your breakfast and maybe have 3 shots of coffee. You have 3 shots of coffee, like, yeah, the mind's energetic. Let's go. Let's do some work. Kind of thing. So you can sort of see like the relationship. You can see this within yourself. Like when you're tired, you get annoyed, right? You don't feel like participating in anything, but when you're, like, when the mind's energized, like your worst enemy can come up to you and ask you, "Oh, can you do something for me?" And you're like, "Sure, no problems. I'll do it for you," because the mind is like energized. It's not fussy. It's kind of like easygoing. It's happy to just like go along with whatever's happening. So there's like something that you can see within your own mind, like the moods in the mind and how they get affected by the amount of mental energy that you have. Yeah. And you know, like the more mental like energy you have within your mind, the more easier you become happy. Yeah? Like, the more easier you enjoy life. The more easier life, you know, just life becomes a little bit more enjoyable. And the more duller, you know, darker your mind is, like whatever you do. Yeah, someone can buy you the latest iPhone 11, you probably get sick of it in 3 days, you know. But if you have like a mind which is like appreciative and content, you can have like the iPhone 5 and be happy. If you know what I mean. Sometimes, like, look at the moods of the mind. Is a lot of it has to is controlled by the amount of energy that we have in the mind. Just like notice that, yeah. And meditation always, if you meditate properly, it leads more to a more energetic mind. So if you see that happening, you know that you're going in the right direction. And if it's like becoming more dull, you're suffering a lot more, you're doing something. Like I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with the meditation. Sort of like the meditator is the problem. Yeah. Do you reckon that's true?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know the part about the coffee is true.
you have too much coffee, you can't sleep at night. Any questions, comments? We can finish. Okay, Bill, you can take it away. You can finish off, Bill.
Through the goodness that arises
from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, the sun and the moon, and all the virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent, or hostile, may all beings receive the blessing of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. Through the goodness that arises from our practice and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease and all harmful states of mind until I realize Nirvana in every kind of birth. May I have an upright mind with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dharma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled.